The topic for tonight's shiur will be Mechiras Chametz. First, we'll explore some of the conceptual issues relating to Mechiras Chametz based on a number of Gemaras and Rishonim, and then we'll attempt to deal with some practical issues regarding the Mechira. Mechiras Chametz is essentially designed to address two fundamental issues that emanate from the same problem, and that is the issue of Bal Yiroa Bal Yimotze. The Chametz is not allowed to be seen. Chametz cannot be found in one's home, on the one hand. And secondly, there's a prohibition, an Isur Hanoa of Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach. So these are the two issues that one has to address. The solution to the first problem of Bayura Bay Motze is simply fulfilling the mitzvah of Bir Chametz. Sometimes there are difficulties that can arise in attempting to fulfill this mitzvah of eradicating the Chametz, whether they are practical issues, economic issues, whether they stem from other situations. Under those circumstances, what we'll do is we'll engage in what is known as Mechiras Chametz. And today, the institution of Mechiras Chametz is pretty concretized in the minds and hearts of Klal Yisrael. The basis for Mechiras Chametz is a clear Gemara in Psochim and Afeim Bebeis. The Gemara darshins the pasuk where the Torah says, Lo yiroa lechos ha'or, that sore should not be seen. So the Gemara is commenting on the rather unusual language in the pasuk. Lo yiroa lecho, says the Gemara, shalcho yatoroe, that which is yours you cannot see. Chametz that belongs to someone else, belonging to a non-Jew, belonging to a goy, or chametz belonging to Hegdish. As Rashi comments over there, we're talking about Shehegdisha on the Berak HaBayis, as opposed to Kachim Mizbeach. What the Gemara seems to indicate, the Torah did not per se prohibit the physical presence of chametz in the house of a person, but rather, what the Torah said is not permissible, If the chametz belongs to me, if I have bailus on the chametz, if I have proprietorship, ownership of the chametz, the Gemara there continues, after a darshan, that chametz that belongs to someone else, or that belongs to Hegdish that's in my home, is not a problem. Only chametz that I own. Yochel yatmin v'yikabel pikdonos min anochrin. What about a person receiving some sort of chametz as a kind of deposit from a non-Jew? So the Gemara seems to indicate that a Jew is allowed to hold on to chametz in his home that belongs to a non-Jew. However, what I cannot do, as the Gemara indicates, I cannot become a shomer. If I'm going to become someone who's going to guard the chametz belonging to a non-Jew, that the chametz will be a kind of pikadon in my home, that's something which is problematic. And the Gemara at the end of the entire discussion comes to the following conclusion. If the Jew accepts achrayis, responsibility for the chametz of a non-Jew, then you're going to be involved in a problem of bal yiroa bal yimotze. You'll be in violation because there's a responsibility that you accepted upon yourself. And even though it's true, you are not the owner of the chametz, you don't have legal juridic title to the chametz, but because it's under your aegis, it's under your responsibility, and this is a discussion in Rishonim, what the nature of that responsibility is, that you would incur an obligation to make sure you get rid of the chametz, because otherwise you'll be over by your rabbi Matze. However, if I'm not mekabel achrayis, if I don't accept any responsibility, then I'm allowed to do chametz in my home. So in effect, by virtue of the fact that I sell my chametz to a non-Jew before Pesach, that will automatically take it out of the realm of Bayiwa Bayimatze, and that's why I'm going to avoid the prohibition. The Mishnah in Psochim Adav Chav Ches also talks about selling chametz to a non-Jew. The Mishnah says, Chametz shel nochri she'avar alav ha'pesach mutar b'hanor. Chametz of a non-Jew, and this chametz was extant on Pesach, that chametz is permissible for a Jew to have hanah, to benefit from that chametz. However, if the chametz belonged to a Jew, chametz shel Yisrael she'avar alav Pesach, also ba'anah, that would not be chametz that would be permissible for a Jew to benefit from. Shenemar lo yirah l'chasor. The same pasuk the Gemara quoted in Daf Yomi Beis, the Mishnah quotes in Daf Chav Ches. According to most Rishonim, chametz of a non-Jew she'avar alav Pesach is not mutter ba'anah. Is actually mutter. I'm sorry. Not only is it mutter ba'achila, not only ba'hanah, but also ba'achila. The chametz is completely permissible because it belonged to a non-Jew. And therefore, if I have chametz that was sold to a non-Jew before Pesach, certainly one would be able to have hanah from that chametz after Pesach. So the Gemara doesn't really discuss frontally, in a direct kind of way, this strategy of selling chametz as an instrument of taking care of the problem of ba'yirah ba'yimotzei. The Gemara really connects to Mechiras Chametz in a completely different kind of context. The venue of the Gemara, on Daf Yud Gimel, Amud Aleph, the Gemara talks about a Jew who's a Shomer, who's a guardian for Chametz, that was given to him as a Bikodin in his Rishus, in his bailiwick, and now the time for the Isur Chametz seems to be approaching. The Gemara there relates the following vignette. Someone went ahead and gave a pikadon of chametz to this individual named Yochanan Chakukah. And apparently mice, rodents came along and they began to burrow through the sacks of chametz. And the chametz was now emerging. So they came before Rebbe. Sure, Rishona, initially he told them, Hamtein, wait. Shnia, the second hour, he told them, Hamtein, wait. The third hour, he told them, Hamtein. The fourth hour, Hamtein, wait. The fifth hour, he said, Say, Umocha Bashuk. So the Gemara, in the ensuing discussion, explains that that person sold the chametz to a non-Jew in order that he should not be over by Rabbi Matzei. So here we seem to have a makar, a source for the idea of selling chametz to a non-Jew. But the Gemara, however, does not at all indicate that the individual who sold the chametz to a non-Jew, namely the mocher, who's a Jew, that he repurchased the chametz from the non-Jew after Pesach. There's no indication of that whatsoever in this sugya. There's another Gemara that has relevance to this issue. The Mishnah, in the beginning of the second parak, Kol Shah, also has the following comment. Kol Shah shemuta lechol, as long as you're allowed to eat chametz, we're talking about Erev Pesach, obviously, you could still have hanah. You could still benefit from the chametz. Machil lebehema lechayev v'leofos umachil lenachri umutah ba'anaso. You could give it as victuals for your animal or for birds, chayos, and it could be sold to a non-Jew as well. And the chametz is mutah ba'anah. As long as the chametz is permissible to be eaten, there's no problem with benefiting from the chametz as well. The Gemara there asks on the statement of the Mishnah, umachil lenachri, you can sell it to a non-Jew. As long as the chametz is mutar b'achila, can be sold to a non-Jew, says the Gemara Pshita. It seems to be obvious. What's the novelty of that statement? The Gemara says that this comes to exclude from the following position. We learned in a brisa. B'shame says that you're not allowed to sell chametz to a non-Jew unless you are assured that the chametz will be consumed before Pesach. The chametz has to be completely obliterated from the world. There should not be any chametz extant, even though I sold it to a non-Jew, the non-Jew has to consume the chametz prior to Pesach. And Beisila says no, kol shor shemutal lechol, mutal imkar. Means according to Beis Shammai, a very striking position, the obligation to begin the process of birur chametz begins 30 days prior to Pesach, and then you can sell chametz to a non-Jew during that period of time with one proviso, the condition being that the chametz should not be extant on Pesach. Halacha l'maisa, we don't pass on that Beis Shammai. We pass like Beis Hillel, and he indicates you're allowed to sell the chametz as long as the chametz is permissible to have benefit from, mutar ba'anah. But again, we still have no reference or no remez to the idea of purchasing the chametz back after Pesach. So where exactly does that idea come from? Where does it emanate from? And the source that the Pesach can bring is one of the most famous Tosefta in Shas. Tosefta is a collection of brisos. often Tosefta's were not necessarily included in the text of the Gemara itself, of the Shas Bavli, but this collection of the Brisos, in general, the Brisos that were incorporated into Shas were collected by Rav Chiya Rav Oshia, and they are the authoritative individuals behind the Brisos that are found in our Shas. But the Tosefta has many, many other Brisos, and there's a famous Brisa quoted in the second parak of Psochim Halacha Vav. I'll read the Tosefta and perhaps just discuss it a bit without getting into all the pilpul that's involved in this Tosefta. The Tosefta writes, Yisrael v'nochri shuribayim b'sfino. A Jew and a non-Jew are traveling on a trip. They're in a boat. The chametz v'yad Yisrael. And the Jew has chametz in his possession. And his Pesach is approaching. Harezem mocho l'nochri. So the Tosefta writes, he sells it to the non-Jew. V'nosno b'matono. He gives it to him as a present. And obviously they're on a sea voyage, which extends for several weeks and continues beyond Pesach. So the moment Pesach is over, the Jew repurchases the chametz from the non-Jew. However, the Tosefta has one proviso. That initially, when the Jew gives the chametz to the guy, he has to be given as a full-fledged, a bona fide, authentic matana, without any qualifications whatsoever. This Tosefta requires a lot of careful analysis. The Tosefta is talking about a specific situation of a Jew and a non-Jew that are traveling on a boat together. Does the Tosefta intend to tell us that this is the only situation where one could have Mechiras Chametz? Is it possible to have Mechiras Chametz where this was not the scenario? Namely, we're talking about not a scenario of a Jew and a non-Jew on a boat together on a sea voyage. So it's difficult to really know whether the Tosefta would include this, what we call Mechiras Chametz in our terminology, in our lexicon. Would that be included under the rubric of the Tosefta? The obvious Rishonim that say very clearly that Mechiras Chametz is permissible only if we're talking about a mikre, a chance situation, as the Tosefta describes. But if we're doing it the way we do it in a formal kind of way that's been now concretized and accepted by Klal Yisrael, that would not be acceptable, that kind of mechira. There is no basis, no justification for that. That's mentioned at the end of Chiddushei Ritva, Amsochim, and also Rav Amram Gon. However, most Rishonim that are quoted by the Poskim La'alocha indicate that the Mechira is not limited. And many Rishonim, even though they cite this Tosefta, and as I indicated, the Rambam, for example, when he quotes this Halacha, he brings in Perek Dal Halacha Vav, I'll read part of the language of the Rambam, Yisrael va'akum sho yiboyim b'sfino. Here a Jew and a non-Jew are traveling on a ship, v'yachamitz b'yad Yisrael, and the Jew has chametz in his possession. The fifth hour came. He sells it to a non-Jew. Gives it to him as a present. And he takes it back from the non-Jew. Means he repurchases it, rebuys it from the non-Jew after Pesach. As long as initially, when he gave it to the non-Jew, so he gave it to him as a complete and total matana. The language was, either he sells it to the non-Jew, or he gives it to him as a full-fledged matana. And we assume that a full-fledged matana comes to exclude the following scenario, what the Gemara calls matana manasa achzir. Matana manasa achzir means that I give you a matana, but there's a condition that is affixed to the matana, namely you have to return it to me. So we happen to pass on the halacha that matana manasa achzir shema matana. It's considered to be a valid, a bona fide matana, even though there was a tanai. The Gemara says in Ksubis, the Gemara comments that tanai milsa achritahi, tanai is really a separate kind of proviso. But the question is that, according to the Tosefta, what exactly the position of the Tosefta is, it's not so clear. And it would seem that the Tosefta comes to exclude this situation of matana manasa achzir. Or a second possibility is to assume that when the Tosefta speaks of giving him a matana gemura, that means that one has to use all the kinyonim, all the Chesh Mishpa Kinyanim that we are familiar with, as far as the Mocher is concerned, as far as the Kone is concerned, because in general, there's a concept called Das Makne, Das Kone. So essentially, if the sale, the transaction, was not done in a formal, juridic, halachli, Chesh Mishpa, correct kind of way, so that would be the problematica involved in this kind of a mechira. And therefore, what is the situation if a person sells chametz to a non-Jew, but the mechira is not the way the Matana Gemura is described, the way the Rambam writes, but the mechira is not a mechira Gemura. So it could be the Tosefta is only suggesting a din l'chatchila, but a person who l'chatchila sells his chametz, and the intention is to rebuy it after Pesach, perhaps the mecher is kayim, the mecher is valid, is bona fide, the chametz belongs to the non-Jew, there's no iso v'ayor v'ayimotze, and one will be allowed to have hanor from it after Pesach. That's generally what we assume is the correct understanding of what's happening. On the other hand, it could be the Tosefta is only suggesting a din b'di'evet. If the mechira is not a mechira gemura, perhaps it's also after Pesach, and it could very well be, even according to that, maybe a person will not be over on b'ayor v'ayimotze, because at the end of the day, the chametz is not in my rishus, it's not in my possession on Pesach, but I was not allowed to have hanor from the chametz after Pesach. So in general, let's just perhaps lay down a little bit some of the problematica with Mechiras Chametz that's mentioned by all the Gdolei HaPoskim. Number one, a person who carries out and executes Mechiras Chametz, do we assume automatically he's not over by Rav by Matzah? Obviously, that's our assumption. Number two, is a person who carries out the Mechiras Chametz able to, once again, reacquire the Chametz after Pesach and have Hanor from it? That's obviously a second assumption that we clearly assume, and that's what we do. And number three, halacha l'maaseh, how do we carry out this mechira of chametz? So since mechira's chametz is a legal, chosha mishpat accepted kind of sale, transaction, and a person essentially removes from himself his bailus, his ownership on the chametz, and therefore he's not over on bayur abay matzeh, that's generally the assumption that we assume. And let's perhaps refer to another gemara, the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph, Imsachi, Yud Aleph Amad Aleph. The Gemara there comments, actually it's a Gemara that's earlier, Daf Vav Amad Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, Nochri Shenichnas Lechatzer Shal Yisrael Ubtzekel B'yado. Let's say a non-Jew comes into my house and he has a hunk of bread in his hand. So the Gemara says, I'm not obligated to go ahead and destroy that chametz. Rashi has a comment. I'm not obligated to remove the chametz. That is to say, not just remove the chametz, remove the non-Jew from my home. I might have thought that the Iser Balyuah means one is not allowed to see chametz. There's no Iser against seeing chametz. That's not what's Asa. And even if a non-Jew comes into my home and he's holding on to a hunk of bread, and I observe the non-Jew holding on to this hunk of bread, it's not mine. I'm not the Kabbalah Achrayis. So of course, there's no Balyuah Bayi Matzah. I'm not obligated to remove him. However, Hifkido Etzlo, if he gives it to me as a pikodon, then certainly I'm a kabbalah chrayus, there's some responsibility, then I'm obligated to be mevar the chametz. Yichel lo bayis, ein zokul levar. If I designate a place in my house that the guy should place the chametz, so then also I'm not obligated to go ahead and destroy that chametz. So again, the primary concern is either bailus, that I own the chametz, or achrayus, I have some sort of responsibility that I was mekabel regarding this chametz, but the Gemara says, yichel lo bayis, if I designate a spot that the chametz should be placed, the non-Jew should place the chametz in a particular spot, I'm not over bayur bayimotzei. If a Jew does not accept upon himself achrayis on the chametz, there's no problem whatsoever. Rashi has a different understanding of this Gemara. Rashi explains, the Jew did not accept upon himself achrayis regarding the chametz, but if, again, I go ahead and I'm a yachid, a mokum miyuchad, I designate a spot for the chametz of the non-Jew, then again, I'm not open by Yuvah, by Yimotzei. Because Chazal assume that even if I have chametz in my possession, the physical mitzias, reality of chametz in my possession does not automatically confer upon me an avera by Yuvah, by Yimotzei, unless I'm the owner of the chametz, I have a chrayus on the chametz. I accept responsibility for the chametz. So if it belongs to the non-Jew, I'm not over on the Isur. And when the chametz belongs to a non-Jew, there's no act of avera whatsoever because I have no connection to this chametz. And therefore, this is essentially what emerges from the sugya, and there are many particulars that are involved in this, but we're not going to become involved in all the particulars. We'll just mention, again, another very famous and very significant issue that's also relevant to this. Besides Kabbalah Sachrayis, the Ramban, when he defines the position of Rashi regarding Rashi and Abbez and Aleph, and Rashi and Avdalah of Abbez, when Rashi speaks about Bitul Chometz, Rashi indicates Bitul Belev, Hesech Hadas from the Chometz, and the Ramban comments on the Gemara and Avav of Abbez, that Rashi's position is, if Rotze B'Kiyumo, if a person wants the Chometz, so that's already a problematica. And therefore, one has to be exceedingly careful regarding that aspect of things as well. Let's just mention, perhaps in that regard, the Gemara and the Aflama of the Beis. The Mishnah speaks about a non-Jew who lends money to a Jew. Nachri Shehilvas Yisrael al Chametzo Acher HaPesach. He lends money to a Jew, and the Jew gives him a mashkon. He gives him collateral. He gives him chametz as a mashkon, as a security for the loan. So now the question is the Jew allowed to have hanoah from the mashkon after Pesach? So the Mishnah writes that mutar b'hanoah, that is permissible. The question is, why is that so? When the mashkon, in effect, becomes or really belongs to the loveh, it's the rechush of the loveh and really belongs to him. Legally, it's still his. Even though he gave it as security, gave it as collateral. So that's one of the issues that is discussed at great length by the Rishonim. But again, just to sum up our entire discussion, that we assume that one can sell one's chametz. One does not violate bayura bayimatzah as a result of selling the chametz. What is critical is that one should not be mekabel achrayis for chametz that doesn't belong to me. One should not be rotza b'kiyum chametz. And assuming that's the case, then the mechira is relevant. Now, the mechira sounds to us like a kind of haroma, a kind of subterfuge that we're engaging in order to avoid being over on bayura bayimatzah. And this is the subject of a lot of discussion among the Gdoli HaRishonim and the Gdoli HaChronim. Is one permitted to engage in this kind of a haroma, a subterfuge? It seems to be a kind of chicanery that one is engaged in order to avoid violating bayura bayimatzah. So the Gemara has a general klal. Again, we're not going into this discussion, but the Gemara has in Shabbos on Kuflam Atesim Mebeza, again, a famous Gemara, but the Gemara there comments, Amalu haroma kamrit, haroma b'drabonon hi, b'tzul b'drabonon v'osil l'meber d'chatchilo. The Gemara there describes a case where there was a kind of subterfuge that was utilized, but it's a subterfuge at a level which is only osil b'drabonon. And the Talmud Chacham, atzul b'drabonon, should not engage in this kind of subterfuge. It says Rashi over there, it's a very important Rashi. Rashi says, haharoma, la b'isa d'araisu. We're not talking about an isa min ha-Torah, ela b'isa d'rabbanan. And therefore, Rashi indicates that even though to do the isa without haroma, haroma essentially eliminates the isa entirely, but if I would do it without any subterfuge, then the halacha would be that Rashi says, I'd only be over on the isa d'rabbanan. Hilkach, therefore says Rashi, since we're talking about a tzur b'drabbanan, we're talking about a talmud chacham, lo achmir ale. Chazal will not machmir. They weren't strict regarding a talmud chacham. Duhu lo asin the mebe lechatchila the hedge below aroma, lavo shav b'tnei akol. From Rashi emerges two very significant principles before we permit this kind of subterfuge. Number one, whether it's a talmud chacham or a regular person. And secondly, are we talking about a din d'araisa or a din d'rabbanan? Some Rishonim assume only a talmud chacham is allowed to engage in a subterfuge. However, one of the famous Gdolei Achronim, the Tzvur Shor, is cholik on that position and says that anyone is allowed to engage in a subterfuge, however, only if the Isar is an Isar d'Rabbanan. So if that's the case, according to his criteria, the Tzvur Shor, you'd only be allowed to sell either Chametz Nuksha or any other kind of Chametz that's Osir d'Rabbanan, which means only Chametz that's rabbinically proscribed, only Chametz that's rabbinically interdicted, that Chametz could be sold, but not Chametz Gomer. If something is real chametz, which would be min ha-Torah, one would not be allowed to sell that chametz, because that's also min ha-Torah. However, there's a way out of that as well, and that's what we all do. All of us engage in bitul chametz. We mentioned yesterday and the day before that the Gemara says, in order to fulfill the mitzvah min ha-Torah It's sufficient to engage in bittul. If we are mavatel the chametz, now the iser is reduced to an iser rabbanon. It's only rabbinically forbidden. And therefore, one is now allowed to go ahead and engage in this act of mechiras chametz, which is a kind of haroma, a kind of subterfuge, even according to the Tevuah Shor. So that's exactly what we do, bizmanenu ano, that we are talking about the iser rabbanon. All of Klal Yisrael's mavatel chametz. And once we are mavatel the chametz, then the iser is only an iser rabbanon. We've taken care of the problem by Yerubai Imotze. And now, through the act of Mechira, we are now voiding and preempting that rabbinic Isser as well. There's another question which also emerges. This hybrid merger of Bittul and Mechiras Chametz engenders another issue as well, which is also a thorny thicket. Once a person sells his Chametz to a non-Jew, how can he be Mevatel it? If the bittul has no validity, so then we're back to square one. The iser is an iser min haTorah, and there's a prohibition against engaging any kind of subterfuge. It means because we do the bittul of chametz the night before, and of course we're still going to do bittul again the next day for the chametz that we leave over to eat for breakfast. But the bittul that we're doing automatically takes it out of our possession, and if this bittul has no value whatsoever, so then I'm stuck once again. Hadvin kushal leduchta. So it could be that this issue can be dealt with. I'm not discussing the issue. I'm just mentioning it for the lamdanim that are in front of me, because the Tevuah Shor, obviously, his intention that is the following. The intention is that you're not allowed to be marim, where without a harama, the isu would be an isu min haTorah. In our case, if a person is not going to sell his chametz to a non-Jew, he'll be mevatel beliba. He'll be over only on isu d'rabbanan. So it appears that this harama, this subterfuge, is a harama on isu d'rabbanan and not a harama on an isu d'araisa. There's a further question which I'm not again going to discuss. I'll just mention it, and that's the issue where the bittul chametz helps the chametz yadua, and that's a big discussion about chlokis among different yourselves in the Rambam. But again, let's just now perhaps address one other issue in the first part of the shir, the conceptual part of the shir, namely how we go about doing this mechira. I heard from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal that this shtar mechiras chametz is one of the most difficult of all the shtaros that we are familiar with. And the reason is the following, because we have to be makna the chametz to a non-Jew. The chametz has to be given over to a non-Jew, transferred to a non-Jew, and that's a very complicated matter. And the second issue is, how do you go about being makna chametz to a goy aydei shliach? We generally do that. The Gemara says that we write a shtar hashor, and the Gemara has in Baba Kama, hilchasa hashor shliach shavya. Hashor is a kind of shlichus. Essentially, we appoint the rav as a shliach. Now, we could theoretically prevent this problem by simply selling the chametz to the rav, and he'll sell it to the goy. But I personally am not interested in this kind of solution, because maybe there will be a problematica with the mechira, and I will be over on the Surah Chametz of my entire shul, of my entire kehila. So I avoid that issue, and therefore I and other rabbanim prefer to be shlichim to sell it to a goy, and not that I'm going to be kona the chametz myself and sell it to a goy. Many people think that I am buying their chametz. I am not. Under no circumstances am I purchasing their chametz. I say it unequivocally, unreservedly, and unqualifiedly. I am simply acting as a shliach to sell someone's chametz, and no more than that. So there are a number of kinyanim that work regarding metalkalin. We know about kinyan kesef, we know about kinyan chalipin, we're aware of kinyan agav, kinyan situmta. That's a kinyan that's usually common practice among in the diamond district. They say they shake hands to indicate that a deal, this diamond deal is taking place, is So each of these kinyanim is problematic, especially with reference to a non-Jew. And that's the complexity of the sale is based on the many controversies concerning the effectiveness of the formal methods of transfer of kinyanim in transaction between a Jew and a Gentile. And that's why what Rabbanim do is they use as many kinyanim as possible, since each one of them is questionable. And this essentially, just to give you a list of the kinyanim that are done, I was quite an observer When I'm going on Nisan Albert Zatzal, my Rebbe, he was the one who used to sell the chametz on the Lower East Side of Manhattan for the Gol Ador, for the Igros Moshe. He took care of it for all the Rabbanim, and the sale was more or less took place with the same non-Jew, but it went on for hours because they explained to the non-Jew, both in Yiddish, this non-Jew seemed to have knowledge of Yiddish, it was amazing to me, and the non-Jew also in English, one of the American Rabbanim also explained each Kenyan, and I understood from Harav Soloveitchik's Zatzal in Boston, even though he did not sell chametz gomer, he was completely opposed to it, to selling real substantive chametz. However, he also was involved in mechiras chametz, and it took many hours. And in English, he actually would have the non-Jew, the Gentile, after he articulated the particular kinyan that was taking place, then the Gentile would have to re-articulate it for him. They have to chazer the shir that our Soloveitchik said on each kinyan, and therefore it was a question of many hours that was involved. Now, kinyan kesev is basically, we're talking about the Gentile gives a small amount of money, and the remainder of the price, which is, again, is an outstanding loan from the buyer to the seller, and the non-payment of the wit does not affect the sale itself. And the exact computation of the value of the chametz and the resulting loan is usually to be determined by experts at a future date after Pesach. That's one kinyan. Chalipe Sudar, which is well known, we do it at a chasana, and we do it by Mechiras Chametz. The Rav takes hold of a handkerchief or some other kli of the non-Jew, and in return acquires all the chametz. The third kinyan I mentioned before was Setumta, which is shaking of hands. I'm not going to go through all the kinyanim. That really doesn't, that requires a lot of discussion in Cheshem Mishpat and a number of Gemaras, but more or less, these are the some of the conceptual issues in terms of an overview of Mechiras Chametz. I want to get now into some of the practicalities that I mentioned in Shulchan Aruch here, and let's start with Siman Tuf Mem Ches. If you have a Mishnah Brura, you can actually see it in front of you, Siv Gimel. The Mechaber writes that Chametz of a Jew that was not sold or was not gotten rid of, is also ba'anah. V'yimecharo nesan olein Yehudi, if it's sold, or it's given to a non-Jew, shemichutz labai yizkonu ma'pesach, af al pi sha'al Yisrael makir olein Yehudi v'yodeh b'shal yigah b'klau, even though I know that the non-Jew is not going to touch the chametz, and he's not going to be involved with it, but he will guard it till after Pesach. So the Mechaber says, mutar. It's permissible. What I just mentioned earlier from the Rambam commenting on the Tosepta, Oshim Kuenolo, Mechira Gemura, Bedava Muat. Well, I sell to him a full fledged, bona fide kind of sale. That's what the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Yitzayin goes through all the different kinyonim that we have to utilize in the context of this transaction with the non Jew. Furthermore, in Sif Dalin, the Mechaber writes that a Jew is allowed to tell a non-Jew, B'shoah hey, means when it's coming close to the Zman Ha'isar, O Kodem, Acha Atolokeh Chametz Mamon Okach B'masayim, Shema Etzorech Le'akochacha Mimem Chacha HaPesach, maybe I might come take it back from you after Pesach. Mishnah Berurah explains over there that you take Chametz, a lot of Chametz, and the sum is Masayim, even though you only really have to take Mamonah, that if I need it after Pesach, I'll take it from you and I'll give you Revach HaKol HaSach. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sitkon Chav Gimel, across from Achronim, that Mechiras Chametz, essentially what he's telling us, helps in order to not be over by Rabbi Motzei. And even though everyone knows it's going to be reacquired, it'll be repurchased after Pesach. Now, as I said earlier, there are a number of Chashoshos that have to be taken into account. Number one, the din of the Shulchan Aruch seems to be only if the chametz is transferred to the house of the non-Jew. That's the simple reading of the text of the Shulchan Aruch. Not when the chametz remains in my house. And generally, that's the accepted situation, that the chametz remains in the home of the Jew. And the pashas of the Shulchan Aruch is that that's not going to work. Mishnah Berurah explains, because it looks like it's my chametz. Mechzi kechem sosho Yisrael. That writes over there in Sivkot Yud Beis. Furthermore, if it's still in my home, there's a gzera that Tosis writes. And that Bezum and Al, Shem Yavol Ochlo. Because since it's mine, so therefore the Gemara says that when it comes to Chametz Shel Hegdish, Bodo Minei. When it comes to my Chametz, Lo Bodo Minei. Furthermore, perhaps even the Mechitza then would not help. The Gemara speaks about someone who finds Chametz Bevesu B'Yomtov, Kofo Lo Sakli, chametz shel hekdesh, you have to build a mechitza. Perhaps even mechitza would not help. So even though you could sell it to a non-Jew, again, the cheder and the chametz is actually in the house of the non-Jew, that's fine. But here, the chametz remains with me. And that's the main issue that we have to actually somehow deal with. Beyond that, there's a more difficult problem, which is why Rav Soloveitchik was very opposed to selling chametz gomer. We're talking about someone selling hundreds and hundreds of people's chametz. A rav of a kehila selling the chametz of all of his balabatim, and I've been involved with people who own wine cellars. They own, literally, they have wine cellars with temperature control and all kinds of very fascinating, literally an entire room of not just wine, but also often whiskey that is, to a large extent, chametz from hops and the like, worth tens of thousands of dollars. So there's going to be a hefsin meruba. It could be a major loss that's involved in this kind of situation. And that's no simple matter. That's already mentioned by the El Rabba. Mr. Brewer himself discusses this matter also, and it's mentioned already by many, many Gdolei Achronim who talk about this question. So the question is, that seems like a harama ba'alma. I'm selling tens of thousands of dollars of worth of chametz, and in this case it's whiskey, it could be other kinds of items. So the Achronim pile up all kinds of chashos. And even though there's an attempt to be melamed zchus on Klal Yisrael, and that's what we should do, as I mentioned many, many times, that's really the object of every Jew, to be melamed zchus on Klal Yisrael. But the heter is not a simple heter, and that's why many people, Rav Soloveitchik among them, was very makbid not to sell chametz goma. There's a whole sefer called Mechiras Chametz Kehilchoso, and he indicates that that's probably the correct position. So what do we sell at the end? Tarubas chametz. We sell chametz luksha, things of that sort. And that's what we try to do. But at the end of the day, many, many rabbonim that sell chametz gomur, not just tarubas chametz, not just chametz luksha. And what they try to do is they try their best to do it in the following way, where they actually know exactly where the chametz is. Sometimes even the key is given to the rav in terms of the accessibility of the chametz, that the guy can actually go there and take the chametz if he so desires. And often, Rabbanim will require that people write down more or less an estimate of the value of the chametz. I mean, again, it doesn't have to be down to the nitty-gritty, down to minutia, but more or less an overview of the overview value of this chametz that I'm selling. And also the idea is to try to the extent that one can, to make the mechira into something which is more concrete, where there is really das makna that will, in effect, give the mechira a certain halachic weight that obviously it must have. So undoubtedly, the halacha is that we accept the concept of mechiras chametz, and it's done. Soloveitchik used to quote the Maaser Rav. He quoted the Maaser Rav of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon writes in Siman Kuf Pei, Maaser Rav, he says, "Shelo limkor shum dvar chametz ki mechira olamis." The only kind of mechira that the Vilna Gaon would accept is a complete and total mechira. I sold it. It belongs to the non-Jew, and that's it. It's over. And further, he writes, "The achar haPesach ein likach min hashuk ma she'ofin mikamach shel Yisrael." That even after Pesach, I shouldn't purchase that which is going to be baked from kemach belonging to a Jew. Ki ha-mechira garua, because the Vilna Gaon did not obviously view this mechira as being something that was very solid, very substantive. And others say this is also was the hanhaga of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. However, I heard from Hagoyin Rav Devin Sol Shlita in the name of Maran Harav Zatzal, in the name of Hagoyin of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, his Rebbe, that all these qualifications were only being mayhem in their days. Because, again, as I said, there was always a chash, the mechir was not done in a proper kind of way. Bizmaneinu, Rabbonim, who are involved in mechir haschamis, do so seriously, legitimately. There's a shtar. The shtar has many, many protim, upirte protim, many details. It's done both in Me'udar, it's done in the ideal kind of fashion, and therefore there's no makom lahachmir. Certainly one can defend the practice of Mechiras Chametz, which is universally accepted by Klal Yisrael in all facets and everywhere on the globus, and there's no reason that one should be mefakveg However, one could still be machmir. Bal nefesh yachmir is a klal gadol, not just an erevin, but also here, chumah de pischa. And if one does not want to sell chametz, so one should make sure that one has some sort of a chametz party prior to Pesach, invites everyone over. Perhaps that's what they do on Purim. Purim just creates more of a problematica. But I noticed there aren't too many big products anymore in the world, so there are very few hametashin. Someone commented to me, what happened to all the hametashin? That's usually the focus, at least in my days when I grew up, and somehow today no longer is possible. Maybe everyone's on a diet. I don't know what the story is, but whatever the case is, one should try, if one can, to get rid of all of one's chametz. But many people store chametz in their freezers, and therefore there's no question Rabbanim should be available to sell people's chametz. It's not considered to be a problem. Now, I just maybe wanted to mention one or two just items that people have asked me in the past, that since there is a chumrah not to sell chametz gomer, and the question is what's called chametz gomer, what's not called chametz gomer, this one would have to discuss with me privately. People ask me whether our yeast, namely yeast that's made out of molasses, is that called the sa'or that the Torah speaks about? I think my assumption is it is not the sa'or that is what the Torah talks about. Vinegar, our vinegar, most of it is synthetic. That's what I've been told by people who know. And therefore, it's not made from dagon, or it's made from corn. And even if it's written on there that there's grain, the assumption is that corn is really the thrust of what we're talking about. And usually there's no dagon there at all. And most of it is water. We're not worried that dafka in this vinegar bottle, there's going to be a kazais of dagon. We don't have to be concerned about it. And even though people sometimes sell it, the way they sell everything, that has a tarovus of chametz, but it's not really included in the chumrah not to sell chametz gomer. And I've said the same thing over the years regarding ketchup, regarding mayonnaise, that even though it has chametz, it has vinegar in there, me'ikar adin, there's no need to sell it. There's a discussion about flour that's bleached. Our kemach, the Gemara speaks about lesisa, and that's an entire discussion. The Shulchan Aruch, take a look in Tav Samach Zayin. I'm not going to go into the whole discussion. There's a question about buckwheat. Generally, we assume it's kidneys. It's not a minchitin. Rice cakes that people eat, kol hayom v'kol halayla, baruch Hashem. So most of them don't have an echshash of chametz in them whatsoever. Sometimes they'll put in some other elements in order to give it some time, some taste. But generally, you don't have a kazayis of chametz in that. Someone asked me about cornflakes. Is that the same as other kinds of cereals that are made out of minei dagon? Generally, cornflakes is made out of kidneys. But perhaps it might have malt in there, which is chametz. Maybe there's a kazayis of chametz. In general, I want to make a statement that some people are very machmir, but all types of cosmetics and perfumes, I'll speak about this separately in this Hashem, are items that are not royal achila. Hagoyim HaMeshe Feinstein Tzatzal, in an early tshuva written many decades ago, speaks about people on the Bowery in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. So they apparently were in a very difficult situation regarding alcohol. So they actually would drink these colognes and the like that have some alcohol in there. I don't think any self-respecting person on the Bowery, even of those individuals who are frequenting those areas, those patrons are going to drink cosmetics or perfume, Rachman al-Litzan. They will not be able to survive for an extended period of time. It's not royal achila, these items. And therefore, al-Pirov, there's no kazayis of chametz in there, and you're allowed to use them on Pesach. There's no need to be machmir regarding mechira. And the same thing applies to medicines and medications and what have you. Even though there are booklets and booklets and booklets that come out every year with thousands of pages, and I don't know who looks at them except for the pharmacist. But whatever the case is, that the mi'ikra adin, there's no need to be machmir. People are going to either use them or not use them on Pesach. Certainly there's no issue. Someone asked me today about licorice. And the question is, first there's a question, what bracha you make on licorice? That's what I asked him. So then he took out and he showed me two or three different booklets. Each one says a different bracha. That's beautiful. Either you make a bracha because there's a lot of kemach in there, and they're based on a taste in case of mevorchim, or there's a lot of sugar in there, or who knows what else is there. But whatever the case is, that may very well be that it may have elements of chametz in there. Someone asked me about Play-Doh. So I assume that, again, Play-Doh most likely doesn't have a shem ochel. I don't see any problem with it. Usually it's coated with all kinds of chemicals and the like, and one is allowed to hold on to it on Pesach Mikra Adin. The Gemara speaks about kupasor sheyichad ol yeshiva. It's quoted in the Din Shulchan Aruch. And certainly that would not be considered to be problematic. I will discuss Emet Hashem in the next series of Shurim, hopefully get to issues that are relating to kashering of kelim and the whole enterprise of kashering. Rav Soloveitchik used to comment that there's the person who was involved in Europe in the kashering. They used to call him the Baal Agola. Baal Agola, of course, is the person who actually drives the wagon with the horse. But we're talking about the Baal Hagola, as opposed to the Baal Agola. But obviously, the two are connected in some form or fashion. And so we'll discuss in Yitz Hashem some of the dinim of kashrus. And then perhaps we'll be on that. We will also talk about different products in terms of Pesach, and perhaps some issues related to cleaning for Pesach. And then beyond that, if there's interest, maybe we'll talk about, Yitz Hashem, some issues that relate to the Leil HaSeder, and that more or less will be the series of shurim that we hope to be discussing in the next short while.